What an incredible time of worshiping our King, our Lord, our Savior this morning. And what a special Sunday, just celebrating our seniors. Can we just one more time just give it up for all of our seniors? We love our seniors. Amen. Hey, as we think about our seniors, I'm going to address a lot of my remarks this morning to our seniors. Are our seniors sitting together, or are they just dispersed? Raise your hand if you're. I want to know kind of. Okay, dispersed. Okay, deal. All right. So I'll look everywhere. But this morning, let me tell you up front, I'm going to be talking to our seniors. But honestly, I'm going to be talking to all of us. But let me just say this to the seniors. Man, my prayer for you as you head to this next chapter, and that's what you're about to step into, the next chapter of your life. And this next chapter, you are going to be exploring newfound freedom. And here's my prayer for you. As your pastor, I'm telling you, my prayer is that into this next chapter, you take your faith in Jesus Christ. That you own your faith. That in this next chapter, you will follow Jesus Christ, not because your dad followed Jesus or your mom follows Jesus or because that's what your friends do. My prayer is that you will follow Jesus in this next chapter of your life because you have confessed that Jesus Christ is your King, your Lord, your Savior, and your God. And that you will follow Jesus because Jesus has called you to follow him. For if you, seniors, follow Jesus in this next chapter of your life, then you will embrace the great commandment to love God in this next chapter and to love others. If you follow Jesus into this next chapter of your life, not because your parents follow Jesus, but because you have decided Jesus is your King and you're going to follow him because he calls you to follow him. Then you will take seriously the great commission to go and at college or in the military or on your job, wherever this next chapter takes you, you will devote yourself to making disciples, sharing with the people that you rub shoulders with in this next chapter about your faith in Jesus. And you will take seriously God's call on your life to baptize them, those who are coming to faith in Jesus. And you'll take seriously the call of God for you to stick around and teach those who are coming to faith in Jesus how to walk with Jesus. See, if you embrace faith, not as a box to check, but you embrace faith because you've made Jesus your King and he calls you to follow him. If you follow Jesus in this next chapter, you will live out of who you are. You will not only be saved by grace, you will live by grace, where you're waking up every morning and you're not saying, seniors, hey, I want to know, God, how am I doing? Instead, you're saying, God, how can you be so good to me that you would save me and give me the gift of eternal life and forgive my sins, past, present, and future, before I've even committed some sins and even confessed those? How can you be so good to me? And you will be embracing the gathering because you'll know that, man, we're better together. And so wherever this next chapter takes you, you will be a part of a gathering of believers. And you will commit yourself to grow by reading God's word and praying and confessing your sin and following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, not because it's a box that you have to check, but because you want to grow to be more like Jesus. And you will give in this next chapter because you'll know that God designed you. He made you in such a way that you are more blessed when you give than when you receive. And in this next chapter, you'll give your time, your talent, and your treasure for the sake of Jesus and the kingdom of God. And you will go. You'll recognize that God has designed you to go and make disciples and baptize and teach. That's my prayer for you, is that you embrace faith and follow Jesus in this next chapter. And with that in mind, seniors, I really believe as we continue in this sermon series on 1 John, that Jesus' message today through his apostle John is so appropriate for you. But again, let me say this. I'm not just talking to seniors, and Jesus' message through John is not just for seniors this morning. It is for all of us. And here's what Jesus' message is. Did you notice how it says in verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you? This is pretty cool. This is like seniors. Okay, before you go into this next chapter, it's like Jesus saying, hey, let's sit down and let's just cover a few thoughts here. Let's cover some faith issues here. I've got a message for you that I want you to consider before you embark on this next chapter in your life. It's kind of like Jesus is saying, hey, let's define this relationship, because now it's going from the faith of your fathers, the faith of your mothers, it's going to the faith that you have embraced. So let's define this relationship. And here's the first thing that he says, seniors, and he says it to all of us. If we're gonna define our relationship this morning, here's the first thing I want you to know. I am holy. Jesus speaking. Jesus is holy. Now notice how Jesus puts it through John, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Hang with me here a second, because you're gonna be thinking, okay, wait a minute, yawn, yawn, I already know that. No, hang with me a minute, because Jesus considers this enough of enough importance that he's saying, hey, if we're gonna define the relationship, here's the starting point of this relationship. I am light and in me is no darkness at all. That's Jesus speaking. You and I have to get it in our head that Jesus is holy. The word holy there, it means that Jesus is pure. Light means that he is undefiled. It means that he is holy. It's talking about good versus evil. As a matter of fact, seniors, here's a phrase that I really pray that you would just memorize, that you would just let it just absorb into your mind and your heart, and that you would repeat it often. It's this: God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. See, the Bible says through Jesus, John, Jesus speaking through John says that God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all, that God is good. And in him, there's no evil at all. Do you realize that means that God demonstrates his holiness towards you, his goodness towards you when he answers your prayers? And God is demonstrating his goodness to you and his holiness towards you when he doesn't answer your prayers. Do you know that God is demonstrating his goodness towards you and his holiness towards you when he's pouring out his blessings on your life and you are just living on the mountaintop? And God is actually demonstrating his holiness towards you and his goodness towards you when he is allowing you to go through times of suffering and you are walking through the valley. Did you know that God is demonstrating his goodness towards you and his holiness towards you, this one who is light and in whom no darkness is at all? He is demonstrating his goodness towards you when he forgives your sin. And he's also demonstrating his goodness towards you when he reveals your sin, exposes your sin, because God loves you. And every single thing he does toward you is a demonstration of his goodness and his love for you. But it's so easy for us to doubt that, isn't it? And seniors, I want you to think about this. Students, think about this. But mom and dad, single adult, I mean, let's think about this together. It's so easy to doubt God's goodness when times get hard, isn't it? It's so easy to begin to accuse God of not being fair when he doesn't do what we want him to do for us. It's so easy to look up to God and say, God, I thought you loved me. God, why are you doing this to me? God, why are you letting this happen to me? God, how could you allow my dad to die? God, how could you allow my loved one to get cancer? God, how could you allow my ex to cheat on me? And you said you love me. How can you let that happen to me? It's so easy to doubt the goodness of God when life is not that good. You know, the kind of the patron saint of just really living a life that believes, that embraces that Jesus is light and in him is no darkness at all, and that God is always good and he's good all the time, is the Apostle Paul. I mean, here's a guy who wrote about half the New Testament. Here's a guy who gave his life to following Jesus and planting churches and sharing the gospel. And here's a guy who didn't try to build on anyone else's foundation. He would go to areas that had never heard about Jesus, and he was just like this pioneer missionary. And you know what he got for his troubles? He was beaten up, and half the time he was hungry, and half the time he shivered through the night. He was shipwrecked, and he got stoned. And I'm not talking about the kind of stone where you take some substance and all of a sudden you start feeling all crazy. No, I'm talking about the kind of stone where you go up to somebody and you tell them, hey, Jesus Christ is God and he died for you. And if you'll repent, he'll forgive your sin and give you the gift of eternal life. And I'm talking about the kind of stone where people get so up in arms about that, that you would talk about Jesus, and then they line you up, and then people start throwing rocks at you, and they keep throwing rocks at you until you pass out and probably until you die. And it would have been so easy for Paul, while he's being pelted with rocks, to be going, seriously, Jesus? This is my big reward for following you, for proclaiming you, for planting churches all over Asia Minor. This is my reward. This is what you're going to say is the fruit of my labor? Seriously? But you know what? Paul never did that, did he? He never once doubted the goodness of God. And so we find him now in prison. By the way, he's not there as a chaplain. We find him in prison. He's not there to just make a pastoral visit. He's there wearing the stripes. He's there in prison. And his big offense was he told people in Philippi about Jesus. And he's there in prison. And now it's midnight. And you want to know what Paul was doing at midnight? I'm telling you, it wasn't shaking his fist at God saying, how dare you, God, I'll never talk to you again. You know what Paul was doing at midnight in Philippi? He was singing hymns and praises to God because he believes that Jesus is light and in him is no darkness at all. And I'm pretty sure the title of the hymn, the name of the hymn that he was singing is God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Seniors, and really all of us, here's what I'm saying. I believe Jesus is calling us this morning. Hey, let's define this relationship. You got to get it in your heart and your head. I am holy. I'm good. So stop the blame game. Every time life doesn't work out the way you ask God to work your life out, and instead, when you are going through it, instead of saying, how dare you, God, how about this? Say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Decide right now, decide this day, even when you don't understand God, you will trust that he is good. When you can't understand his hand and what he's doing, you can still trust his heart. Jesus said, here's the definition of this relationship. If we're gonna move forward and it's gonna be healthy, you gotta understand Jesus is good. He is holy. But he said, here's the second thing you got to understand. This is going to sound rather negative. I don't mean it to be, but it's kind of negative. Jesus is the one saying it, though. He says, first of all, Jesus is holy. And then he says, second of all, you think you are. Listen to the way Jesus puts it through John. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness. Do you ever do that? No, not you, of course. We have a unique ability to kind of gloss over our own sins, right? We have a unique ability to grade our own sins on a curve, right? We kind of are good at that, but that's okay. It's not our fault because we learned it from Adam and Eve, right? I mean, Adam and Eve, they're in the garden and God says, okay, you can eat from any tree in the garden. All the fruit is good, except don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I mean, think about how mean that makes God. He's keeping them from this tree. How selfish of God, right? Of course not. God is going, guys, you know good. The thing that you don't know is evil, and I'm trying to keep you from evil, and so I don't want you to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they're like, no. We know how good is. Evil must be even better. God's trying to keep us from. So they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God comes and confronts them. And what do? Own up to it. You're right, God. We disobeyed. We are so sorry. No. Adam, he's classic. Just like every guy, including me. He's like, no, don't look at me, God. Look at her. This woman you gave me. Didn't even call him. It's not my wife. It's like, this woman you gave me. Come to think of it, God, it's kind of your fault. You're the one that gave her to me. And she's kind of flawed. I mean, obviously a sinner. Not me. I just was following along. Don't look at me. Look at her. And Eve's over here like, no. Don't put this on me. Uh-uh. The devil made me do it. No. I was tricked. I was fooled. God, listen, you got to understand something. I'm a good person. I just did a bad thing. So it's really not my fault. See, we learn this idea that you know, we can excuse our sin, we can gloss over our sin, and we learned it from the very beginning. But Jesus tells us, if we're gonna define the relationship, if we're gonna be honest with each other, here's what you gotta know. Jesus is holy, and you think you are holier than you actually are. And so Jesus says, here's the thing you gotta do. Stop lying to yourself. You go, Jesus didn't say that. He said that through John. Listen to the way he put it. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we, say this word with me, what does it say? We lie and we do not practice the truth. He says, you gotta stop lying to yourself. Now understand this real quickly, theology, okay? When you trust Jesus as your savior, you are justified. You are positionally righteous before God. We're not talking about that. When you come to faith in Christ, you receive the righteousness of Jesus. You receive all the righteousness you're ever gonna have. You are positionally righteous before Jesus. We're not talking about that. We're talking about sanctification, the process where the Holy Spirit begins to transform us into the image of Jesus. He makes us like Jesus. We're formed in the ways of Jesus. And we're sanctified. We grow holy in practice, not just in position. But when it comes to sanctification, what Jesus is saying is human nature has a unique ability to just assume that we're actually practicing a lot more holiness than we actually are. It's so easy to tell ourselves. I go to church. I believe in Jesus. I'm following Jesus. Even while we're violating the majority of the Ten Commandments. It's so easy to tell ourselves, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus. Even when we're not reading the Word of God, we're not praying, we're not confessing sin, we're not being transformed into the image of Jesus. It's so easy to tell ourselves, I love Jesus, I believe in God. My goodness, what do you want from me? Even while on the inside, we're filled with sinful hate, prejudice, lust, anger, fear, and worry. Seniors, it's so easy to grade yourself on a curve and excuse your sin even while you're desperately trying to hide all the things that you're doing while no one is looking. And Jesus says, man, there is such a better way. It's easy to tell yourselves that you're following Jesus even when you're only following your own sinful lust. So Jesus' message is this. Let's define the relationship before you go to this next chapter in your life. Number one, Jesus is holy. Number two, you think you are. Number three, through confession, you can be. See, through confession of sin, sanctification can take place. And in the next chapter of our life, and every one of us have a next chapter, by the way, it's called next week. And this next week, every one of us can walk in greater degrees of holiness through confession. This is the way that Jesus puts it. Listen to him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Did you know the word confess is two Greek words put together, to say and to agree? It means to say the same thing. It means to confess goes beyond just admitting. Oh yeah, God, I admit that I had that affair. God, I admit that I told that lie. God, I admit that I was, and you fill in the blank. See, confession goes beyond admission. See, confession says, God, I don't just admit I did it, but I want you to know I agree with you. You're the king, I'm not. You're the one who tells me how to live, not me. And I've been bought with a price and I'm not my own. And God, I agree with you that I walked in disobedience. I walked in rebellion and I am sorry and I'm asking you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? And I will turn and I will follow you as my king. What Jesus is saying is if we're going to define the relationship and we want this to be a healthy relationship, what we've got to do is stop excusing our sin and start confessing our sin. That's what he's saying. Another way to put it, Jesus is saying, you got to keep short accounts. I'll admit right up front, I'm getting more OCD in my older age, and I'm still very young, so you know, but I do find I'm getting more OCD. I think it's because my wife reminds me that I'm getting more OCD and it's making me more OCD. So it's actually not my fault, it's her fault. I have, as an example, my banking app on my phone. I do all my banking on my phone. Please don't hack my phone. And so, man, I've got, you know, it's checking and it's savings. It's my credit card. Did I mention that I'm getting kind of OCD? And so this idea of keeping short accounts, I don't know what it is in me, but I'm just gonna admit this up front on the conservative side. You know, as you know, you make charges on your credit card and then, you know, you see it. And so as soon as it clears, unfortunately, you can't pay it right then. I hate that. But they're gonna develop an app where you can just pay it right then. That'd be so good. It just bugs me. But anyway, so but you have to wait till the charge clears. And so I pay my credit card bill about twice a week. Because I don't want this pile of debt to just pile up and it becomes unmanageable and I have to come to church and go, hey, I'm broke. Can anybody give me a loan? You know what I mean? I'm like, no. I like to keep it paid. Listen to me. What Jesus is saying is, hey, if you want a healthy relationship, here's what you gotta do. You gotta keep short accounts. You can't let sin and rebellion pile up until it becomes this massive pile of sinful rebellion and it becomes unmanageable and the sin actually begins to take over your life. Don't let a laundry list of sins build up over a matter of days and weeks and then months. Rather, keep short accounts. Confess your sins as the Holy Spirit convicts you. Oh, seniors, listen to me. This could be absolutely revolutionary in the way that you walk with Jesus. If you just every time the Holy Spirit convicts you, wait a minute, you're veering to the right or you're veering to the left. If you just stopped and said, I confess, I agree, you're the king, I'm not, and you're calling me to walk in this direction and I was walking in that direction, please forgive me. I will follow you as my king. Keep short accounts. You know the guy that I always look to in the Bible that just pulled this off? A guy who was concealing his sin and then a guy who confessed his sin. This is David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. At first he tried to conceal it. I mean, think about it. It's an ingenious plan that he had. Hey, nobody's gonna know what I did in secret until Bathsheba came and said, I'm pregnant. And my husband's away in battle. Not sure anyone's gonna believe that he's the one that got me pregnant. So David goes, no problem. I can cover this sin. No worries. What I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna have Uriah, your husband, fight on the front lines and he'll be killed. So everyone will assume that when he came home on leave, that's when you got pregnant and that's how you got pregnant. Genius. No fuss, no muss. We're all good. And so he assumed after Uriah died in battle, just like he planned, that his sin was concealed. until he was confronted by Nathan the prophet. And then instead of continuing to conceal his sin, here's why I love David. Here's why he's such a great role model for all of us. Did I mention the dude committed adultery? Did I mention that he had someone killed to cover his own sin? But instead of concealing it, what he did is he confessed his sin, and he actually wrote out his sin, and it is such, wrote out his confession, and it is such a profound confession. David lived 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. For 3,000 years, followers of God have been following this very same confession. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you, this is not the end of the sermon, but it's really close, okay? So hang with me here. Here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I'm gonna ask you right now to just stop and just pause and just to say, God, will you show me where I've been claiming to live in the light, but in reality, I've been walking in the darkness? Because what I'm gonna do, just pray that prayer. Even while I'm talking, just pray that prayer. Ask God to show you where you've been walking in the darkness, where you've been concealing what you've been doing while no one else is looking. Because I'm gonna ask you in just a moment, I'm gonna put Psalm 51 on the screen, and I'm gonna ask you to pray this psalm. Not read it, pray it to God. Where you confess, where you agree with God about your sin. It's not gonna do you any good to pray this prayer if you're not confessing a sin, right? So let God show you. God, will you show me where I've been walking in the darkness? Got it? Would you pray this with me? Don't pray it out loud, because I just want you to pray it in your heart to God. But don't just read it. Will you pray this prayer? It's David's prayer. Will you make it yours? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Did you just pray that? Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Pray this, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Let me ask you now, did you just pray that? If you did Jesus forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Church family, did God just forgive you if you asked him to forgive you? Yes or no? Help me out. Yes. Amen. And let me tell you something. Here's what God said about David. Did I mention his adultery and the murder? Here's what God said about David. And I believe if you learn the beauty of confession, God will say this about you as well. Listen to this. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Seniors, listen to me. You're about to enter into the next chapter of your life. Can I say this? You're gonna make a lot of mistakes. You're gonna veer off the path. But here's the beauty of God's grace. In the economy of God, failure is not final. You can come back to Jesus. You can confess your sin. Jesus will forgive you, and he will restore you to fellowship with himself. So here's my final thoughts. Church family, where is the Holy Spirit convicting you right now? Here's the question. Are you going to conceal it, or are you going to confess it? My prayer is that each one of us would own faith in Jesus, the kind of faith that says, Lord Jesus, I am going to confess, not conceal. We are about to be dismissed, and let me just say this. There's a real kingdom, and it's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has already come with the birth of Jesus, and the kingdom of God is coming every time someone places their faith, their trust in Jesus, and embraces Jesus as their king. But the kingdom of God is going to come fully and finally when Jesus returns, and Jesus is going to return. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the king of the kingdom. There can only be one king. And Jesus wants you to live as a citizen of his kingdom. And here's what he did so that you might. He died in your place on a cross. He was buried. He rose again and he conquered the grave, and he offers you victory over the grave. But understand this, the only way that you can become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is by repenting of your sin and telling Jesus you believe in him. You believe that he's the savior, that he died, was buried, that he rose again. And you confess him as your Lord, your God, your King. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you've never done that, let me encourage you. Right here at the Next Step Room, you can come there. I will meet with you. Someone else will meet with you. And we'll show you how you can take a step of making Jesus Christ the King, the Lord, the Savior of your life. If you need somebody to talk to you and pray with you about some matter, come to the Next Step Room. If you want to move forward in church membership, come to the Next Step Room and we'll talk to you about that. And if you came prepared to give your tithes and your offerings, you can do that online, but you can also do that in the offering boxes as you leave today. Church family, my prayer is that we all embrace Jesus as our King, and that we all, as followers of Jesus, embrace confession and not concealing, so that we might walk with the Lord in victory and in holiness. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the way that you shower us with your grace. You forgive us. You cleanse us. And you restore us to fellowship with you. No questions asked. Thank you, Jesus. You are truly good all the time, and all the time you are good. We pray this in Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said. Amen. Hey, God bless you. You are dismissed. I pray you have a great week.